5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
The word sent is the S or the C sign?
So.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That's gonna just absolutely stuff me, Brian, his head.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Listen to the Rush Hour. Triple M.
I feel good.
Monday, the 1st of November, is the date, and it is the start of the last week of the Rush Hour for the year, and what a show we have coming up. Of course, Billy and all his sports news, and there is plenty going on, so much so that we have to reach out to Damien Barrett, Triple M's own, the number one newsbreaker in the game, to get an update on the Jordan DeGoey situation. We speak racing, of course, the Melbourne Cup tomorrow. Wayne Hawks will join us, and no doubt, Bill, that will be lively. We speak to Elliot from PointsBet, and of course, you will finish off this Monday before a public holiday tomorrow with an absolute cracker of a joke, no doubt.
Probably not. G'day, Daisy. Great to be with you. What a weekend. What a day it is today. Looking forward to tomorrow. Oh, we'll get a winner there with Hawksy. Or maybe a place getter. G'day, Rebsy.
Thomas, now it's a foot race. Fisher and Thomas. Thomas and Fisher's. Look at the explosive pace by Thomas. What a magnificent pickup.
What about
a magnificent
that?
Goal. Boy, oh boy, where are we? Did you see that? Dale Thomas.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
You got the whole boy, oh boy, wow, we.
Yeah, I'm not sure I was the official starter of it, but I think that was one of the most memorable boy, oh boy, wowies. And rightfully so. If you haven't seen that Vision Fad, go and treat yourself.
I'll tell you what I did watch over the weekend. I just saw the Geelong Collingwood Grand Final of 2011. I just sat there and watched that and didn't see D. Thomas too
much. You would have seen him 32 times and putting one through the big sticks, but we're not here to talk about that.
Speaking of Collingwood, we are Jordan DeGoey, and we'll talk to Damo, as you said, very, very shortly. But might be in a bit of trouble, the boy.
Well, he's already in a lot of trouble, Bill. It's just how much trouble he's going to be the answer and where it all lies. So he's been locked up after going to a Halloween party.
Yep.
And it isn't looking great. Of course, he's over there in the minute, that being in the States, training with Monster Energy. He got exemptions to go there. He's been out publicly saying how good he's going. He's absolutely humming, training his backside up. And as so often seems to be the case with this young fella, it just all sort of comes crashing down when he's out and about. So Damo will have an update on that, but it doesn't look great early.
No, we'll find out what happens there. Speaking of footy, of course, did you see this over the weekend? Nathan Vardy.
I did.
He got a tattoo. Like, that's fair enough if you're playing a premiership.
Absolutely.
Did you get one for your premiership?
Yep.
And he got a QR code.
Correct.
Tattoo. So you put your phone on it, on the QR code, which is on his foot, and it shows you a 90-second video of the great coast-to-coast goal, which won it for him. Go through. Who started it?
The intercept mark was from Shannon Hearn, and Rabsy, this is going to break his heart. Look at him.
Shannon,
he's already
Shannon? Jeremy McGovern.
McGovern, the other interceptor. Kicks it long to Vardy.
No. Does he? Yeah, Vardy.
Yeah,
sorry,
Vardy
takes the big
clunk on the wing. For some reason, has the nous of a ruckman to move it on.
Yes.
Gets it in long. Flying Ryan.
Yes.
Takes the big pack mark, and then he goes into the pocket where Dom Sheed takes the mark.
And played on.
Shepherded out.
And shepherded out.
Shepherded out. Bruzzy Maynard still going mad to this day about that was not a free kick, but Dom Sheed, of course, went back. Mason Cox on the mark, and he slotted it from the forward pocket.
So you can watch that. 90 seconds of that, the coast
to coast. It's a pretty good idea. Would you contemplate doing that with Billy, you are King of Geelong?
Actually, I might. I might do that.
Have you got any tattoos?
None.
Well, that'd be a great first one.
Clean skin. I need tattoos.
You don't put bumper stickers on Ferraris, as they say, Bill.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's what they say if you don't have any.
I have one somewhere. It's welcome to Jamaica. Have a nice day.
That's two losing grand finals you've brought up already.
What?
For Collingwood. You brought up 2011. And 2018. If you bring up 02 or 03, I'm out.
Oh, good.
We'll get to that in a minute. I'll tell you who isn't losing now at the minute, Bill.
Who?
Lucas Herbert, the Herbs and Spices. He's on fire over there with his first PGA win.
Exactly right. He did win a couple last year. I remember Jim's all over the Gulf. He won the Irish Open and another one. But this is a big, big one. The PGA, it was called the Bermuda Championship. The last day, he shot a 69. And it was terrible conditions, Coco. Windy, windy, windy. But he has won 1.1700 million.
Which equates,
1.1 million.
Which equates to 1.1 million, I think. Yes, with all the O's and everything. But well done to him, because it was a come-from-behind victory. Yes. A good tailor-made man. We love that, Bill. That's why he came from behind, just rolling the rock and slapping it down there beautifully. But it's a great thing for him to have. Obviously, had the Euro Tour two victories, as you spoke about, now getting his opportunity on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, good on him. Good Aussie there. That is fantastic.
Do you want to hear the win?
Oh, you got it. Yes, please, Raps.
And Lucas Herbert has broken through on the PGA Tour. The 25-year-old from Australia is a winner.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Nice and excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, any chance you can play that back at 10 o'clock when I need to go to sleep?
Put us to sleep. Oh, now what about the cricket? The Aussies were flying 2 from 2, and then they come up against the Poms, and wowee. All out for 125. Didn't get going at all.
Soul-destroying, absolutely beasted, is the quotes that are being thrown around.
They were, and then England 2 for 126 off 11 overs, I reckon. Joss Butler, 71. Just smashed him. Did you see him smashing Mitchell Stark and all that?
I actually was watching a bit of it because I'd gotten home from a good day out at Derby Day and flicked it on, and the Aussies were nowhere. It's amazing how often in cricket, especially T20, you watch one team bat and they can't hit it outside the square, and then the opposition come in, it looks like a completely different wicket, a completely different pitch, and they went to town. Warner again?
Quite. Ooh, he was. Yeah. They were 3 for 8 or something.
3 for 8, 4 for bugger all.
They're never going to win then.
Yes.
So I don't know what they do there. Make some changes. I think the big boy has to come in from Perth. Mitch Marsh.
The big boy.
Yeah, the big boy. He's got to come in and play. He's just got to. So, and now, speaking of Derby Day, how'd you go? We had Danny O'Brien on Friday.
He gave a superstorm, which was nice, because by that point in the day, I was looking for a winner. So we found one late, but it was Hitotsu.
Hitotsu.
Yeah. A bit of a tricky one to say, but it was a good win, Bill. Wow. And didn't the punters come for it late? The money came for it, and it did, and duly saluted.
Oh, it did indeed. Very good win there. Wasn't a bad day, and we go again tomorrow. We'll have a chat to Elliot from PointsBet.
No doubt.
Someone got the quaddy for PointsBet. How'd you go last night, just before we go to a very important thing, with Trick or Treat?
I had a very uneventful night, Bill.
A lot of kids are in.
Well, actually, it's a good thing for me this week. I went and did the right thing, bought some lollies and whatnot, and not one person knocked on the door.
Well, I did that too. I went and bought the favourites.
Yep.
But I took out all the Turkish delights and the Freddo frogs that I like. I threw it and then put it back in.
Well, I've got an absolute ton of chocolate at home that I'm going to have to work my way through. Oh, so not a bad result all around. But the biggest news, Bill, sad news over the weekend. Someone who you knew from back in the footy show days was, of course, Bert Newton.
Exactly. And a sad weekend for the TV and radio industry, because this man was a giant. He was a legend of TV screen and the radio. And Triple M have put this together for the great Bert Newton.
I've comprehended this program now for 13 years. They're letting me do it until I get it right. And
you've done this before?
Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't think so, would you? With him, you've got to laugh and then step back a little bit.
Tonight, we're very excited about the Logies because for the very first time, they're not fixed. No.
Oh, and my heart's jumping up and down.
Wow. On both sides, I might mention.
No wonder Molly Meld really fancied me. We had a good thing going, and then Elton John came to town. The whole thing was...
I like the boy.
Did you say Roy or boy?
I like the boy. Is something wrong with saying that?
Roy.
Yeah. Hey, hang on. No, wait. I'll change religion, I'll do anything for it. I don't care.
Bert Newton finally went to the doctor last week, who scheduled the quadruple bypass immediately.
And I said, what's the percentage of things going wrong? And my surgeon, who was a wonderful man, said, well, if there is a chance, it's about 15%. And I thought, 15%. If it's good enough for Channel 10, it's good enough for me. So I decided to go along.
This is the moment now. When we do say goodbye.
Well done, Matty. There's put that together from Triple M, of course. And what a great man he was. He used to come on the footy show occasionally early days because he loved Sam and he loved Eddie Maguire. And he'd come on and he loved Fitzroy. Mad Fitzroy supporter he was. And I remember seeing him out the back and because he was bald and he had these hair pieces, you know. And you walk in, you go, oh, shit, Bert. Hello, Bert, how are you? But he was a great man, loved it all, and was loved by everyone.
Loved by everyone. Loved. Generosity and just a generous man with his time. The ability to take the mickey out of himself at times, which is why everyone said he was so great, especially at live TV.
And he walked that line, as you just heard then, and that was to Muhammad Ali, so I like the boy and all that. But other things he used to say, which we all love, he hosted the Logies 19 times, so absolute star, and he will be missed.
Well done. Well said, Bill. Mm. It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Anyone watch the following here?
No.
Hey, great show. Kevin Bacon.
Kevin. He, write that down too.
Brother of Kevin. And he's very, very good.
Dale Thomas and Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour.
It certainly is, and there's big footy news overnight or over the weekend regarding the Collingwood superstar Jordan Degoe. And Bill, there's only one man who will have all the information and be able to answer our questions, and that is Triple M's very own Damien Barrett, and he's good enough to join us. Damo, how are you, mate?
Hello, boys. Yeah, it was a shock, wasn't it, to hear what Jordan Degoe found himself involved in over the course of the weekend, given only a week earlier he was on the social media platforms, you know, promoting the fact that he was getting his head around and his body around and into shape for the 2022 season.
That's exactly right, Damo. We heard about how fit he's getting, and he's got a bloke over there, he's training with him, going beautifully, and then bang, this happened. So what is the latest there? The charge is forcible touching and assault, which is an interesting one. But what happens now?
Well, basically, Bill, the December 8th date is a key one for him now. He will need to appear back into the US or the New York court system on that day. Yep. Far from ideal on a number of fronts. And look, just as we always say when someone is charged with any form of offence, they've got the right to have the case heard. So let's, you know, say that because it is part of the court system around the world. So that's his right to defend whatever it is that he's been in charge with. But from a footy sense, the reason we're talking about it, clearly he's not going to be part of the Collingwood system for some time. Now, they made the decision to stand him down yesterday. It was a decision they made it themselves as a footy club. And clearly, when clubs make those decisions and deliberate the merits of such a decision, they do cut the AFL into the conversations at some stage. So clearly, the AFL has endorsed this situation surrounding Jordan Degoe. There's not a no fault policy at all at the AFL. Each event and each incident is treated independently of every other event. And as such, the decision specifically was made to stand him down. It's a long way back now, though, for Jordan Degoe at Collingwood on a number of fronts.
Will he be allowed back into Australia before that court date that's set?
Haven't got a read on that yet, Dace. Made a couple of calls on that and just can't get an answer. Look, my take on that is that he might stay in the States until that point in time. But again, I haven't got that as an absolute sign off. And I think given that everyone's still trying to get their own ducks in line in order to work out what it is they can and can't do. I mean, there may be even, for all I know, a potential ban on him being able to travel while this is yet to reach this December 8th next hearing. So, again, I don't know the logistics of all of that, but, look, December 8th, he has to appear in person.
In person, it can't go on video link or anything like that.
As far as I know, Bill, it's an in-person requirement there. Again, things can change and lawyers can broker behind the scenes, but as far as I know, he does have to appear.
So where does this leave his future, regardless of the outcome? Another serious incident, obviously, there was one throughout the season and that one was ended up being resolved. Regardless of the outcome, the serious nature of the allegations, where does this leave his future?
Look, it's line ball to me, Days, as to what happens now with him and how that plays out. The court case will obviously be the next natural and obvious step for Collingwood to work backwards from. So they've distanced themselves, rightly, as a club, from what he's done. They've said to him, you go and sort this out and then we'll get back to you once we're good and ready. So already it's a disrupted pre-season from a club sense. He might be able to maintain his own fitness, but he's not going to be able to join that club. And whatever happens on December 8th, there's going to be another stage of it. And even if it, you know, is dealt with there and then in the court system, it's then up to Collingwood to make a decision on whether they bring him back in. And look, certainly the conversations that were flying around in the past 24 hours were of a pretty serious nature as to how that future looks for him. We know he's out of contract. We know he's going to be a free agent. And prior to this incident, he would have been the biggest name probably on the free agent market. But There's a buy beware component to him. It's not the first time he's been on the market. I mean, North Melbourne, as you know, was a club that put a lot of time and money into making him an offer last time. But ultimately, outside of North, there wasn't the significant interest in him at the levels that he felt he was worthy of from a playing sense. So, look, with Craig McRae now there as coach and a whole new broom going through that footy club, I'm not at all going to be surprised if they just privately anyway say, look, you're out at the end of the year. And it wouldn't totally shock me if they made a decision on him prior to that. Now, there's a lot to play out between now and that happening, but that was certainly some of the sentiment that was being reflected yesterday.
And he has pleaded not guilty, which is important to note. But however, the charges and the ramifications, if he is found guilty, it's serious to the point of jail time. That's correct, is it not?
It is. It is. As far as I can tell, it's at a misdemeanor level as opposed to a felony. And they're words used in the American court system. And I'm probably loath to go too deeply into the aspects and the specifics of that. But again, it's not to downplay it and it's not to pump it up. It's look, as you rightly point out, though, Daisy, that the charges are of a nature that time could be, part of the sanctions that come down. Again, the not guilty plea that he's already made will expect it to be taken into the next phase of the court hearing, and he's got the right to, give his version and his side of events.
No, it'll be very interesting, and, he just finds trouble, Jordan, doesn't he?
Unfortunately, and as we said off the top, he was over there. It was fantastic. He was looking great. He was training his backside off. He was talking about links to, Petrarca and wanting to take the 2022 season by storm. But as it is at the minute, that is certainly derailed. Damien, we thank you very much for your time, mate, and bring us all the latest on what is a big story, that being Jordan De Goey.
It is, and we're just dealing with a wasted football talent too, and we just bring it right back to footy. 2018 final series, I thought he was the best player in the comp, and he started 2019 with 14 goals in his first five games that year. And outside of that stretch of significant football performances, I feel he's been a wasted football talent given how much he's actually got.
Spot on, Damo. Thank you for your time once more.
Cheers, boys.
Billy and Daisy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. Wayne Hawks, Master of Wine, is running in the Melbourne Cup tomorrow. He's going to join us next on the Rush Hour.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I want to see a crocodile eat a giraffe.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with Daisy and Billy, and the Melbourne Cup is on tomorrow, and this man, one of the great characters of Australian racing, has Master of Wine running. It's Wayne Hawks.
The race that stops a nation is on tomorrow.
Gates crash and they're racing in the Melbourne Cup.
And in the last 30 years, overseas horses have dominated the Cup. Our next guest has an overseas raider running in the race. Master of Wine from Germany. Please welcome, from the famous Hawks racing family, Wayne Hawks.
Yes, we welcome you, Wayne Hawks, one of the greats of the racing industry, Bill. And around this time of year, this week, it's all about characters. It's about racing characters. And arguably, Hawksy is one of the greats of that. Welcome to the Rush Hour, Wayne Hawks.
Good evening, guys. I obviously couldn't get Jordan De Goey, so you had to get me.
Yes, exactly. We'll talk about that later. But hey, Hawksy, what's going on? Now, you got one runner tomorrow at Flemington, of course. We go to the Lexus Melbourne Cup. $7.7 million, if you don't mind. We go to number 14, Master of Wine, trained by Team Hawks. Any chance?
Well, I think he is. And you know what? It's a bit like if you're tipping, you're Richmond at their best up against Geelong at their worst, you're always going to say, oh, no, I think Geelong's just staying solid. But to be totally fair, if you look at the Geelong Cup winner, was it Rosa Tralee?
Charlie Rose,
same thing. I'm just a bit dyslexic here on the we Monday know that, afternoon.
Yeah. what, just Monday?
Yeah, people in glass houses might be. Dougie Hawkins is coming on next. Okay.
Yes.
Now you have a look at it. Two starts ago, we beat at home in the Bar Cummings. Last start, we ran the Caulfield Cup and we bunged the start. Like, fair dinkum, just threw it away. Right. So it was just the horse just jumped terribly, just jumped in the air as the stalls opened up, and he was never, ever in the hunt. And Dean Holland rode him and got off and said, mate, this thing will stay all day. Mm. My brother told me, for what it's worth, 2 months ago, he said, I'm telling you, this horse just wants 2 mile.
Right.
He said he wants 2 mile, 2 mile, 2 mile. We've never run him over 2 mile before. So He's a virgin, so to speak, at the 2 mile. But he's unbeaten at the 2 mile, isn't he? So
that's a great way to look at it.
Yes.
Dean Holland got
half
off.
Full, not half empty. Don't say he got off to ride the other horse.
Hey, to ride Charlie Rose.
You can't have been that wrapped with it, although it does drop 4 kilos on that run as well.
Now, listen, Bill, if you're going to start talking sense, get off this program, seriously.
No, I'll tell you what we should do. This is one for the ladies out there that like a bet, but
I'll
also...
I'll be on track as well, Bill, tomorrow.
I'll be on track, doesn't matter, on track, off track, but also a bit of value, and let's back Master of Wine to win or a place. You get very nice, juicy odds. That'd be nice, Hawksy.
Well, you know what? We're about 100-1, so I reckon if everyone that likes a red or a white, any sort of... any, you know what? Any sort of wine that you like at all, you could be a master.
What other wine is there other than white or red?
Oh, I don't know.
Sticky.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Shut up, Brad.
I was going to be stuck for word there. It's the first time ever. Sticky wine. See? Yeah. See? Sticky.
You'll be so, on track tomorrow, will you, Hawksy?
I will. Yeah. I thought I'd better turn up for grand final day, Daisy. So, it's the only runner I've got, so it'll be straight in and straight out, but hopefully I'll be hanging around. And you know what? We don't have the international raiders there in their droves this year, so this is I'm 50. When I was a kid, this is the old Melbourne Cup. It's just all the three or four big chances and 20 slow ones that are hoping to do a job. So if you don't like the top three or four, I mean, the world's your oyster at, 20s and 50s and 100 to 1, so... I reckon something could win at any old odds this year.
Wow.
And, I mean, the favourite at $2.30, incentivised. Now, he's done everything right.
Yep.
He's done nothing wrong.
Yes.
But he has to carry 57, and every handicap has told me that 57 in a Melbourne Cup is a serious, serious ask. So I've asked a couple of the handicappers, and I've said, mate, it won't be easy to be doing that. And anyone that's anyone always says the Melbourne Cup is the biggest weights race, and it works on weights because there's an old famous saying.
What is it?
Weight stops trains. So that's why Billy and I wouldn't be able to run fast anymore.
We're not on the Geelong train.
What about for the rest of the carnival, Hawksy? You've got one in on Oaks Day that looks like a live chance.
Ooh.
No, I've only got one. No, I'm not running it now. I've only got Archidemus left in. He's still in Sydney, but he's going to run on Saturday. So I'm very, very quiet this year, and and that's Archidemus. So John and Michael have trained that up perfectly well for Wayne to stuff up. So they always go better when John and Michael send them down. I don't know why. I don't know why. I'll work it out one year. But see, the thing is, it's the quietest. What do I have? Two on Saturday, one Melbourne Cup day, one. So I'm going to have four for the week.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever had four for the week in 25 years. So
this is runners,
Well, yeah, runners. Yeah.
This is what happens when you're not allowed to stay on track after and enjoy the festivities. Hawksy just goes, bugger it, have four of me slow ones.
That's where he's at his best. That's where he is at his best, our man here. He just lobs at the bar over the drip tray and away he goes.
We actually once boarded a plane with him. We were coming back from an interstate loss and Hawksy had gone on from a big day at Morfettville and just held court up the front of the plane. And
I don't
think Brendan Bolton had ever seen a performance like it in his life, Hawksy. We couldn't get you to shut up.
That was totally true. I was talking about Chautauqua, and I'm going, mate, you had Brendan Favola, I've got Chautauqua, and I'm up the front of the bus, I'd gotten home at 6 a.m. with Dwayne Dunn, and I got a phone call going, and don't forget your plane's at 9. I said, it's at 10, and it was 9 a.m. Well, I've rushed to the airport.
No.
I boarded the plane, and Carlton played Port Adelaide the night before. And, you know what? What the hell can you do in Adelaide till 6 a.m.? I don't know, but I did it. And I got...
On air, Hawksy.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. I don't know what the hell you do till 6 a.m. in Adelaide because I'm from there.
All right.
Fair dick. The lights are off and no one's home after
shut
midnight.
Up. Wayne Hawksy, tell us about his Adelaide trip. Anyway, we're going to back the Master of Wine, number 14 in the cup tomorrow, each way, one for the ladies and one for us. Good luck, my friend.
Thanks, guys. I'll just be happy to talk to you after we win.
I bet you will.
It's a rush hour. Billy and Daisy on Triple M.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill. When he thinks he's funny, okay, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
On your home smart speaker.
Hey, Google.
And on your radio. This is Triple M's Rush Hour with Dale Thomas and Billy Brownless. No show tomorrow, Daisy, because of the cup, but we are back on Wednesday.
Well, we certainly are. Marcus Harris, Bill, your boy, little cricketer there, the one who takes a lot of steps to get between the wickets, as you said.
Yeah. Well, he got 100 last inning. So
he's a fan of the show, Marcus Harris.
I know, he
and
is.
And so he should be. It's an absolute ripper. We'll have Nate Jones from the Melbourne Footy Club, of course, to talk all things what he's up to. So it's big, but it is time, Bill.
No chance.
Monday. We're a tough tired. We're a touch wrecked after a big weekend.
Yes.
And I'll probably be worse on Wednesday after a big day, cup day. But finish us off, please, with a laugh.
All right.
In the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Yes, a tip, Daisy, for the cup, please.
I'm still going to stick with very elegant.
Are you?
$16. Don't
Grand
worry about
promenade
it.
For me, but okay. They've got to go past
Rabsy?
The...
Not master of wine.
Incentivise. They've got to go past that, don't they? Righto. So here we go.
Righto.
My girlfriend, new girlfriend, Daisy, invited me over to meet her parents.
Yes.
This is what I might have told, but I like it. Before we went over, she let me know that her dad, Dale was his name, believe it or not, was in a car accident and had both his legs amputated at the hips. Apparently, it was a very sensitive issue, as you can imagine, Daisy. So I was not to mention it at all, okay?
Yes, I could imagine so.
So we arrive at the front door. And believe it or not, a dad, Dale, greeted us at the front door. Not seeing his wife anywhere, I'm looking behind him, couldn't see his wife anywhere. I said to him, Dale, it's great to meet you. Where's the other half?
Oh, no. Oh, Bill. Oh, no.
Tell you what, that got off on the wrong foot.
Oh,
on the double punchline.
Bill, no. It's not bad, though. It's better than the rest of them.
It's actually all right. Yes. Where's the other half? Anyway, well done, Bill. You're away.
Not bad. I'll see you Wednesday, Pat. Happy Cup Day to you all.
Ascot, race 9, number 6 tomorrow.
Woo!